psalm was written by David. And there's something about that that really stood out to me, is that David lived very purposefully. He decided how his life was going to look, what he was going to allow in his life, what he wasn't going to allow. He had definite parameters for the way that he lived his life and for what he would make a part of his life. And I think sometimes we forget how purposeful we need to actually live this Christian life, because the world's very distracting. Things are happening all around us. Things are drawing us away from where God wants us to be. And so we have to live very purposefully in the way we do things. And there are certain things that we need to close our minds off to and our ears off to and our eyes off to. And there are some things we need to pour ourselves into. And so this whole concept of opening and closing doors within our life to make sure we close the doors that are taking us places we don't want to go and opening doors to what God would have, that process is on us. That's not like we can expect God to open every door and close every door. We actually have to decide what we're going to allow into our lives and close out of our lives. And so it's a very purposeful thing. We choose how we're going to live. We choose what we're going to do and who we'll allow into our lives. We choose who we're going to keep out and what we're going to keep out. But yet sometimes we act like we're just kind of victims in this world, like life just happens. You know, it's like all these things happen to me. And, you know, if I just had a better family, if I just had this, or if I just had that. And we become victims, and God says, I want you to rise up and get out of this victim mentality and choose to live your life the way I called you to live it, and begin to draw the boundaries the way you want them drawn in your life so that you can honor me with your life. And that's an important process for us. It's living a life of boundaries, but not living a life of walls, because there's a difference between boundaries and walls. Boundaries are where we kind of define who we are and who we allow into our space and who we allow into our lives for our health. And then walls are the things that we put up when we've just been hurt so bad we have like nothing else to do except wall people off. And God says, I don't want you to wall things off. I just want you to draw some boundaries and some parameters for your life, and I want you to live that out. The life that we live is a life of choices. People can say all day long that they're just kind of a victim of the way things go, and it's true sometimes for children that that's the way it is, because it's hard to make choices when you're a child. But when it comes to your adult life, it's important that we understand that life is a choice. The things we allow in, the addictions that we allow in, the things that we allow into our lives, we allow them. They're choices. But we have the same choice on the other side to push those things out of our life. We live a life of choices, not conformance. It's a life where we're not victims, but we're actually stewards. And I'm not sure if we understand how we steward our life, but our life is stewarded in a lot of ways. We steward our time. We use our time wisely. We don't use it on things that draw us in the wrong direction. We steward our relationships, that we choose relationships that are healthy for us. Anybody ever had a healthy, unhealthy relationship and you wish you never had it? Okay, you know where those things can take you, right? So we steward our relationships. We also steward our minds. What are we going to allow ourselves to meditate on? Where are we going to allow our minds to go? And where will we not? And we also steward our hearts. You know, who has our heart? Does God have it or does someone else? Being a good steward requires that we draw boundaries and we protect things that are important to us. Things that only God belongs in the middle of. So we draw those boundaries. We have those protections in place. We live by firm convictions. And we don't allow people to talk us out of those things. And we don't allow life to affect the fact that, you know, we say this is what we believe and this is what we'll live out, and we begin to live those convictions. But I can tell you, living convictions really takes some backbone. And that's a hard thing sometimes. And it also takes a great deal of obedience, and that's also a difficult thing too. You know, this scripture here that King David writes, it's a scripture, it's almost like this outpouring of his heart where he's explaining what he's chosen for himself and what he's chosen for his kingdom. These are the things that are important to me. These are the things that I have chosen that I'm going to allow and not allow in my life. This is what my life looks like. If I were to draw a boundary of my life, here's the boundary. And I think it's important for us to see this. Now, he draws a very hard boundary, a very tough one, but I want you to go through it with me tonight. In Psalm 101, beginning in verse 1, it says, I will sing of your love and justice. To you, Lord, I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? So the things that are about God that he honors and appreciates so much are the very things that he puts before him. And I don't know what you appreciate and honor about God. I don't know what your favorite part of God is, but for him, his favorite part was his love for him. I don't know about you, but I do love and appreciate how much God loves me, even in spite of all my failures and where I've been and all the things I've done in my life, that he loves me. And I have to say, I agree with David on this one. If I were to write my own little song, it would be like this. God, thank you because you love me. And that's the very thing I set before me. So when I see a picture of God in my mind, I see love. The other part that he had in the picture that he had created for God is he says, I love your justice, you know? And I want you to know, justice is kind of a double-edged sword, okay? I mean, I love God's justice too, but it goes two ways, right? There's justice toward all the people out there who we would like to see justice for, and then it also comes back to us. So, you know, handle justice carefully, okay? It requires a lot of respect on our part. So this is the picture of God that David set before him. I wonder what picture you've set before you for God. Like when we just talk about God tonight, you imagine what he's like and he's sitting right before you. Like what are your favorite attributes? You know, for a lot of us, the attributes that we have are the things that we grew up thinking about God, or maybe somebody taught us, and it's not always the right thing. For some of us, we see a wrathful God who's just waiting to like smite people, you know? And so for some people, that's the vision they hold out in front of them. For others, it might be they see a loving God. And so they just get overwhelmed by his love. And I can tell you, like, that's a lot of how I see God. And just his love is just absolutely amazing. Some people see a judging God, and some people see a gracious God. But we always see different pictures of who he is. And I don't know what the picture is for you. But I can tell you, David starts this whole passage out saying, God, this is what I love about you so much. You know, and I don't know what that is, but that's something for us to think out. Because maybe through the process tonight, you write your own psalm, you know. But he goes on to say that his personal goal was to be careful to live a blameless life. And I don't know that I've ever said that about myself. I wish I had, because as I read it, I'm like, of course, right? Like, isn't that the goal, that we live a blameless life? But I don't know about you, but it's really hard to like pray that or even say that, because we know we're not blameless, right? It almost seems almost hypocritical a little bit to say, I really want to live this blameless life, because I can tell you that as much as my heart pours out that whole sentiment right there, I know that I'll never, ever get there. But, you know, it's so important that we set God-sized standards in our life, you know, that we don't just set the bar low, because I can tell you, if we're just going to set the bar wherever we want it, that's going to be a crazy world for us, right? We set the bar at a God height, and then we go for it. And we ask God, Lord, take me to that standard. And we know that we don't always achieve the standard, but I can tell you, our heart's desire is for the standard, and God judges the heart, not the end result of life. Amen. He looks at the heart. So it matters that we set the bar high. So the question is, what has your spiritual goal been? I mean, for a lot of us, you know, our goal, like spiritually, is that, you know, we want to love people more, we want to have more patience, we want to, you know, begin to have the fruit of the Spirit show up in our life. You know, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, especially self-control. We want to see that stuff, right? Like, that's the stuff we want to see in our life, and so that's kind of where we're at. But David asked God right at the end of this passage, he says, when are you going to come to me? When will you come to me? And you can read that a lot of different ways, but I believe what he said when he was saying this here is that he was saying, Lord, you know I can't do this without your help. I just ask you that, you know, I want to be careful to live this blameless life, and Lord, when are you going to come to me? Because your coming to me is actually important for me to live the blameless life, because I can't do it on my own. You know, he understood his limitations. So it makes it a little bit easier to pray the whole prayer, Lord, help me to live a blameless life, when I'm also saying, God, give me the strength to do it, right? Because then it becomes possible for me. And so we see that David's asking God for this, and this is kind of an important realization for him. He goes on to say this in the passage, I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. He says, I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. Man, these are important boundaries, are they not? Do we ever set these things for ourselves? There are some people who are very like, these are my strong convictions, this is what I believe, this is where I draw the line. But I don't know that any of us write it down and say, you know, this is where I am at, this is the boundary of my life, this is what my life will look like, this is the standard I have chosen. We don't always go through that process. Now, in this section here, he begins to address how he's going to be at home, right? Here's how I'm going to conduct the affairs of the house. Here's what I'm going to be like around the house. And here's what he says. My decisions and my dealing with my family members, I'm going to do it with a blameless heart. I don't know that I've ever really thought that process out either. Like that every time I speak to my wife or my children, I want to make sure I do it with a blameless heart. Every decision that I make, I do it with a blameless heart. I always do it realizing God is looking over my shoulder and watching me and giving me the strength that I need, and he's rooting me on. Is that the way I see it when I make decisions and speak to everyone in my family and have these family relations? Is it with a blameless heart, or am I just kind of rolling thinking I'm the man? Because there are a lot of people out there who just kind of roll thinking they're the man, and I want you to know right now, you're not the man, okay? Or the woman, for that matter. Because God's in control of these things. He's the one that makes our blameless heart possible. I wonder if we maintain relationships in our family with the right heart. Because I can tell you, to maintain relationships in your family with the right heart means you lay down your rights. You lay down everything that's ever been done wrong to you, anybody who's ever spoken badly about you, anybody who said anything to you in your family, you lay it down and you keep the relationship before you do anything else. Because that's the blameless heart in the relationship. He says, I'm not going to look at anything sinful or off color with approval. And sometimes we wonder, why is this so important? Why would he have written this in? Because it's actually a pretty short passage. It's only 8 verses, and this is what he says. And the reason it's important is because the approval as the spiritual head of the home sets the tone for the children. Do you know that? There are a lot of things that we laugh about, maybe smile about, things that we allow into our home, things that we think are no big deal, but they're a big deal in the way we raise our children. They're a big deal when we allow those things into our marriage and in our relationship. Those things matter. So we don't look upon vile things and speak in approval over those things because we don't allow those things into our home. What we're actually doing is closing a door to that. So David says, look, when it comes to vile and bad things for my life, I'm going to close the door to that. And I'm not going to allow that into my children's life. I'm not going to allow it into my marriage. I'm not going to allow it into my family in general. So he draws a really hard line here. I tell you, when parents open and close doors to the enemy within the family, these are serious, serious things. I wonder sometimes what doors we've opened and closed. You know, as a pastor, I've watched a lot of people open doors they should never have opened, and I watched people close doors that shouldn't have been closed. I've seen a lot of things happen. You know, not having your family in church regularly opens the door of indifference to God. You know that? When you refuse to bring your children in here and you say, I'd rather be on vacation, I'd rather do all these things than to bring them to church and to have them raised in the church, you opened the door of indifference to God with your children, and it's proven over and over and over. I have watched families here for years. I've been here 8.5 years now. I've watched families come in here and say they'd rather be out doing all these things, and they go out and have all this fun and are constantly gone, and when their children finally get to the right age, the children wander out of the church, don't want anything to do with it, and they wonder, what happened? I thought I raised them right. And I can tell you, you opened the door of indifference in your life, and now you're watching it play out. You got to be careful what you open up. David understood some things. He had a lot of wisdom when it came to these things because he said, these are doors I will not open up for my family. I'm not going to allow those things into my life. We understand that ending our children's exposure to some of the music and things out there that get into their minds begins to close the door to Satan in their life. Do you know that? You know, this may be hard for you to believe, but I'm just going to throw it out there. I grew up on rap music, okay? Maybe that seems weird to you, okay? Because I know I'm a little country, all right? Just bear with me, don't judge me, okay? Anyway, I grew up on rap music and I really liked it, but I can tell you, I listened to stuff I should never have listened to. I let things into my mind I should never have listened to. I have some opinions about these things today. And I watch these kids listen to all kinds of things and their mind is being filled with this stuff. And I can tell you, it's not just music. It's not just music, because I can tell you, I remember the words to every rap song I ever heard and they're stuck in my brain and I can't get them out. Yeah, it sounds funny, but and I'm not going to rap for you. But anyway... But they're stuck in my head, and I can tell you they're not all good. And I can remember them like it was yesterday. I opened a door to things in my life that I wish I'd never opened up, and there are things that I carry with me today, and they're mental scars within me because I allowed the place for the enemy to exist in my mind. You know, there are times when we discourage our children and speak destructive words over them, and I can tell you it opens up the door for Satan to sabotage their lives. Do you know that? We have to be careful the words we speak over our children because we're opening and closing doors when we speak words in their life. We need to be encouraging to them. We need to be taking them to a place where God wants them to be. We don't want Satan to ever have a handle on our children. We have the authority and the responsibility of opening and closing doors. And we are opening and closing. Are we opening and closing the right ones, or are we allowing the enemy to do that for us? Because I tell you, if you don't open or close doors, they will be opened and closed for you. It's the way it works. I have watched this happen over and over and over in families, and I tell them, you can't do this. And then I watch this, Satan just completely wreak havoc in their lives. Because they allowed Satan to open up a door and do whatever he wanted in their families. So here we see David saying, you know, when it comes to family life, there'll be no door open unless I open it. That's an important piece to the puzzle, isn't it? So now we can begin to understand why David said this. This is a very important part of the drawing the boundaries of your life. He goes on to say, "Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. Whoever talks badly about another person," he said, "I'll silence." And there's really a couple of ways to silence people. One of them is to correct them and say, "Hey, don't talk like that. I'm done with that. We're not having it," right? And there's another part that you walk away, and it doesn't matter if they're speaking because they might as well be silent. You know what I mean? So there's a couple ways to silence those kinds of things. But he said, you know, for the people who are going to talk about other people, I don't have any place in my life for that. How important is that in your life, by the way? Do you understand that as people talk about other people, it affects relationships and it affects the way you see people? It affects the way you love people. It affects the way you minister to people. So it's important that we shut those things down. So he said, when it comes to someone like spreading all kinds of bad rumors or whatever the case is about people, I have no place for that in my life, and I will silence those people because they have no place for me. You know, as we read this, does this sound like someone completely intolerant of the world? It kind of sounds that way, right? But I can tell you, David understood people well. He understood failure. He understood what it means to be lost. He understood what it means to need the Lord. He understood all those things. But I can tell you, he still drew a hard line in his life and says, here's what I choose for myself. And it is so important that we begin to draw these parameters and boundaries for our lives. He says, whoever is filled with arrogance and who is really proud of themselves, I will not tolerate those people either. And you think, what does he have against arrogant people? Just let them talk. It doesn't matter, right? Well, it actually does matter, because here's the thing. He says, I don't want to have a relationship with those people. Those people who are arrogant, those people who think they've got it going on, I don't want to be any part of that. I don't want to have anything to do with them. You know why this is on the list? Because arrogance welcomes failure every time. Man, I don't know about you, but like, I don't want failure to fall on me because of somebody else's arrogance. And I can tell you, arrogant people breed arrogant people. It's just kind of the way it works, right? Arrogance opens the door to Satan's destruction. So what in the world do we have doing building relationship with the destruction that's coming upon people who are arrogant? He draws a boundary there. Destruction surrounds the arrogant and takes down those in relationship. Therefore, he has chosen not to tolerate them or to make a place in his life for them. He goes on to say, my eyes will be on the faithful of the land. Okay, now he's shifting gears a little bit. These are the things I'm not going to allow, but this is what I will allow. These are the things I want. This is a door I'm opening. He says, my eyes will be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. The one whose walk is blameless will minister to me. Okay, he's choosing, these people are going to come into my life. This is what I'm going to do. David says, I'm going to choose my friends carefully. I'm going to allow people in my life, but only if there are people like this. And I can tell you, what you fix your eyes on tends to direct your life movement. Do you know that? So if you're fixing your eyes upon the people who are good for you, who are encouraging to you, who are Christ-like to you, who are humble, who are right with the Lord and who are good for you, you'll find yourself kind of tending to join the same ranks that they're in. And we understand that just the way it is. If you choose to enter a relationship with people who do not know God, though, or live obediently, if you fixed your eyes upon their ways and you fixed your eyes upon their lifestyle, you fixed your eyes upon their beliefs, and you will begin to slowly compromise yours. And I don't know if any of you have ever had this experience before in life. It can happen in intimate relationships where you yoke yourself to someone who's not good for you. Anyone ever done that before? Okay? I'm not raising my hand. I've only... my wife... Yes, I yoked myself to someone very sinful. No, I didn't. I'm just totally... Anybody? Okay. But I'll tell you what. In relationships like that, where you yoke yourself to someone who's not right with the Lord, you will find that they will drag you away. You will not drag them to the Lord. It's the way it generally works. You know, it's almost like you're pouring water from one container to another. Imagine for a moment that the water that you have is pure and it's completely clear. And the person who is not right with the Lord and not really living the way they ought to live is they look like they're in a Kool-Aid container. It's like red Kool-Aid, okay? And you're pouring your purity into there and you're blending and you're building relationship with them. You might dilute them a little bit, but they're still red. Do you know that? Like, there's still a little bit of the tint in there. You know, things tend to neutralize. Do you know that? When you put two people together, whatever their backgrounds are, they tend to neutralize together. You know, they tend to find common ground to the point where they're like both a little bad. You know what I mean? Like, it just kind of tends to work that way in a relationship. So we understand that, you know, you take two people who honor the Lord and love Him, and two pure water. You pour two vials of pure water and you pour them together, you get pure water. But we understand that it doesn't work the other way around when you choose to link yourself with someone who's not. The ones who are obedient to God will be the ministers of my life, David says. The ones who love Him and who prove it, who are obedient to Him, those are the ones who I'm going to allow to minister to me. This is why obedience is so important, because our obedience affects our ability to minister. Do you know that? Do you know there are people who are looking for real Christians? They're like, you know, I want to meet somebody who really lives it out, who walks it out, who's obedient to God and everything. And when I find that person, man, I want to like hook onto that person and I want to learn from them and I will allow them to minister to me. And there are a lot of people in this community looking for that very person because they want real ministry to happen. But I can tell you, to the level in which you're obedient is the level in which you'll be able to minister. So obedience is a more important thing than just, it's not just about us, it's about a bigger picture here of ministry. He goes on to say, no one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. David had no place in his home or his life for deceitful people. He didn't at all. Because deceitful people wreak havoc. They cause a lot of drama. Anybody ever know anybody caused drama before? Read Facebook if you don't have any drama. You'll find a little there, okay? Broken relationships. You'll find broken relationships around that. You'll find general chaos, and you'll find a little craziness there, too. I want you to note something, though. We all make mistakes from time to time. But he was referring to people who practice deceit. Okay, that was, if you'll notice that, he says those who practice deceit. I can tell you people who are really, like, deceitful people, they've opened their own practice, okay? You understand what I'm saying? They do it for a living, all right? And he said, no one who practices these things will stand in my presence. Like, that's probably a good rule, isn't it? Yeah, I can tell you, this sounds to some people to be a hateful statement. This sounds to some people like you're reading this whole thing going, man, this guy's a total prude, right? Like, he's just so perfect, and everybody who's got any issues in their life, he's going to cut them all out. And I can tell you, that's not his heart in this. It's so, so important that we draw our boundaries, and we draw very defined boundaries. We draw boundaries that are absolute. And some people say it sounds hateful to draw absolute boundaries, and I can tell you it's not at all, because drawing an absolute boundary is honoring God more than you've ever honored Him before. But so few of us actually take time to draw very definitive boundaries around our lives because we think, you know, I'm not sure I can even live that out. But David draws these boundaries, and he said, look, Lord, I know that You have the ability to give me the strength to do these things. So, Lord, with Your strength, I will live out the boundaries that I'm setting before myself. It is so important that we take time to do this. I don't know how many of you here have ever done this process before of saying, you know, these are the things I'm going to allow in my life and the things that I don't allow. But I can tell you this is very uncommon for us. We are very easy. We allow life to happen to us very easily. Do you know that? We just kind of bounce from one thing to the next. I look back over my career professionally and I see that I went where the money was, you know? Wherever the opportunity was, if somebody wanted to pay me, you know, a bunch more money, I'd take it and I'd go. And I can tell you that we don't allow life to work that way. We make choices. We draw boundaries. We allow our life to be as God called it to be. But very few people live proactively that way. Most people just allow life to happen. He goes on to say this. He says, every morning, I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord. Man, that's like a way to finish this, isn't it? I mean, he just like cuts them off at the knees, right? He says, I'm going to silence all these people. Here, this statement right here is a statement that he made about his kingdom, his city. He said, the land that I lead, I'm going to cut the wicked off from it because there's no place for them here. Every morning, he says, I'll silence the wicked. I can tell you, that sounds like a full-time job to me, doesn't it, to you? I'm going to silence everyone who's wicked in the city every day, every morning when I wake up. I mean, I'm like, wow, what a cool guy. But the question for you is this, do we silence the voice of wickedness every morning? Man, there are a lot of things that run through my mind I wish didn't. Do we silence those things? Or do we give an ear to it? Because I can tell you the best way to neutralize something Satan's trying to speak into your life is never giving an ear to those things. It's important that we just completely neutralize those things and never allow them to have a voice in our lives. David said he's going to cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord. You know, when we look at the boundaries that David drew around his kingdom and around his life, we see his absolute convictions. And I love this about David, because David is really all about, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing. He was very clear in those things. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't make bad decisions in life. Because we understand that if he had to go back through his life and you could ask David, if is there anything you would do differently, he would probably have a long list for you. You know that Bathsheba thing? I probably wouldn't have done that. That's probably what he said would have said. You know, the whole thing, it was tough. You know what I mean? Like, it was a bad decision. But I can tell you, it doesn't stop him. His failures never stop him from drawing an absolute standard. And I can tell you, that's the one thing that causes us not to say this. It seems so weird for us to say, you know what the standard is for my life? I'm going to live blamelessly, and everything I do in my life, I'm going to do with a blameless heart. And everybody who's bad for me, I'm going to cut it all out. And I'm going to stay right in the straight and narrow, and this is what I'm going to do with my life. And for a lot of us, it's hard to make that statement, because we look at our past and see where we've been, and we think, you know, do we really have a right to draw a standard like that? I don't know about you, but that's something that would have been difficult for me years ago. It would have been difficult to say to everybody, oh, yeah, I'm going to be the Christian God's called me to be, and I'm going to do everything right. Because I know people who knew me from my past would probably go, oh, really? Let's talk about some of the things that you used to do, you know? And I can tell you, that's the voice of Satan. And what did David say? I silenced the voice of wickedness in my life, right? So that voice no longer has a voice in my life. So some would say that it's impossible to live the standard that he set, but he set the bar at God's height, so we understand that it's like he's shooting for the moon, right? Beyond the moon. You know, if you look at this model that we have here, it makes you wonder how we can create these boundaries and still minister to lost people. I got to tell you, this is like one of the big questions that raises in my head. You know, if you're really going to be that set apart, you're really going to be that different, everybody who doesn't do things right, you're going to cut them out and so forth and so on, how are you ever going to minister to people if you're about that? Because it almost seems like there's this paradox. Yeah, reach out to hurt people, but don't hang out with hurt people. Right? Doesn't that seem a little weird to you? And so there's this whole thing that we have to try to figure out. Here's what we need to know about setting boundaries and still making room in our lives for ministry and for people who are hurting. These boundaries protect our minds and our hearts. And you know, it's important for you, if you're going to have a witness and you're going to be able to minister to people, that your mind and your heart is right. Do you know that? Your heart and your mind is going to have to be in the right place to minister to people. So make sure you keep those things pure. All right, so that makes sense. We understand that in order to keep our purity, we have to not be contaminated by the world. So there are going to be things in the world that are going to try to contaminate your life, but you have to draw boundaries and not let them come in, because if you're contaminated, you're no good for anybody. Isn't that true? You're a compromised Christian. You're never really going to have a voice for people in their life. We understand that these boundaries that we see here are actually keeping us on track and focused. And I can tell you, the unfocused Christian doesn't live a life that anybody wants to emulate. Right? There are a lot of people living unfocused lives, and nobody's going to you saying, you know, I really wish I could just live like you. I mean, there are times that we just need to, like, allow our life to be focused and be into this right place, so that when people see our lives, they see Christ, and they say, you know what, I need your help, I need you to minister to me, I'm having a hard time, and then you're allowed to pour out. So this is all about, if you want to help someone else, like being on the plane where the oxygen mask falls, put yours on first before you put theirs on. You know, make sure you're safe before you're actually trying to save other people. And one thing we need to understand, too, is we don't set this standard and set ourselves apart like this because we somehow want to be raised on a pedestal to the world so people can say, wow, you know what, that person is just like Jesus. They're great. We don't do it for that reason. We do it because we want to make possible ministry that would not be possible any other way without complete separation and obedience to God. So we separate ourselves, we draw boundaries around ourselves, we don't allow certain things in, and we allow other things in so that we can be in a place in our lives so that we can truly minister to people out of strength and fullness instead of out of need. You know, the life that we've been given is really a life of boundaries, and it's not walls. So the question for you is this: what kind of boundaries are you going to choose for yourself, and what boundaries have you actually placed out there for yourself? I want to ask you, like, what do you want your life to look like? Because that's really up to you. How are you going to lead your family? What kinds of things are you going to allow into your family, and what things are you going to cut out? Or are you just going to let Satan open and close the doors for you? What are we going to allow into our homes? What and who are we going to fix our eyes on? These are all the questions. These are the questions that drive the boundary that you draw. So what will it be for you? What will we make room for, and what are we going to keep out of our lives, and what relationships will we make, and which ones are we going to avoid? Because that's part of your boundary. And who will we relate to, and who will we minister to? These are a lot of questions that we really need to think about. So often we never address these questions in life, therefore we never create the boundaries around our life to bring us to a place where we can truly minister. You know, I see a lot of people who don't draw these boundaries in their life, and their life's kind of chaotic, and they, you know what, their heart's desire is to minister, and they say, you know, I really wish I could just minister to people. But in their life, there's so much need because there have been so many doors that were opened that should never have been opened. There are so many things they allowed into their life, so many relationships that they linked themselves into that took them to a place that wasn't good and contaminated their lives. And so they find themselves in this place of contamination, this place of not being where God wants them to be, and yet their heart's for ministry. And my whole point is this, and this, if you want to minister and you want to use your life for God, the first stop for you is, what kind of boundaries do you really want to draw to prepare yourself and to provide the parameters in which you can grow and become healthy so that when someone does come up and actually need ministry, that you're really prepared and ready? You know, for the longest time, my heart was for ministry, but I had a lot of brokenness inside of me. And I don't know that anybody ever told me this message, but this is really, really important, you know? What are your boundaries around your life? What are you doing to make sure that your life is healthy? What are you doing to take care of the brokenness in you? Because I want all those things to be fixed, and I want there to be a shield around your life, and I want God's Holy Spirit to be poured into you so that when someone sees your life, they say, you know what, I want ministry from that guy right there because God's doing something in him. No one ever said that to me. And I can tell you, I beat my head against the wall for a lot of years thinking that I don't know why God doesn't want to use me for ministry. Maybe he just doesn't have any plan for me. Maybe my job is just to go make a whole bunch of money and give it to the church so somebody else can do it. And honestly, I got to that point. But you know, more than anything, God wants to get me to a place where I'm healthy. And when people see my life, they actually see him in that. They see health inside of me so that when they're hurting and they know where they can come to and they can say, could you minister to me? I need some help here. And I want not only to have, I don't want it just to look like that in my life. I want it to be that way. It's easy for us to put on a front and make it look like we're spiritual, religious, whatever you want to call it. And like we have all of our ducks in a row and like everything's happening. And, you know, we can speak in tongues and we pray for people out loud and we can scream hallelujah when the song's on, right? You can make it look that way if you want to. But at some point, we've got to get to a place where all that health exists on a heart level, not just on the outside. So that we can really minister in an overflow and an outflow of the Spirit and not just in our own strength. Because I can tell you, any word that I have for you tonight that's in my own strength is going to go out of my mouth and flat to the floor. But if it's a word spoken by the Spirit, it'll go to your heart and it'll begin to change who you are. But it's only by the Spirit that happens. So we have some boundaries to draw. We have some choices to make. You know, it's not a life that we live that's a victim. It's actually that we're stewards. So how are you going to steward your life? How are you going to steward your mind? How are you going to steward your heart? How are you going to steward your children and your relationships and your witness and even your ministry? You know, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being a victim in this life, saying life just happens. I won't say that anymore. Life doesn't just happen. We make choices. We can't let life happen going from one moment to the next, riding the world's waves of fun, in a worldly living and compromise and wishy-washy convictions and relationship building with people who end up contaminating us. We need to stand up and choose the boundaries of our lives and decide who we really want to be. You know, I know who I want to be, and if I'm bold enough to actually draw the boundary on my own, I can tell you what I want it to sound like. Lord, give me the strength to stand up and be exactly who you called me to be, and every one of my fleshly desires, Lord, kill that desire inside of me so that all I want is you. That's kind of what mine would sound like. And I'm sure yours would be a little different. You know, it's okay for it to be different. God made us a little differently. But I can tell you this, is that inside of us there has to be a want and a want to glorify God with everything that we have, every part of our being, and not just live this life from one wave of fun to the next or whatever it is. We need to stand up and choose the boundaries of our lives and decide who we want to be. We need to decide who we want our children to be. We need to decide what life we're going to have and what our focus in life is going to be, and we need to know what our convictions are. We need to know what we want our witness to look like to people who are hurting. And we need to know how effective our ministry will be to others based on our obedience. These are a lot of choices. And the choices you make today are going to dictate the life you're going to live. But at some point, you need to put your choices down on paper and say, this is who I am, this is what I believe, and these are the boundaries I set. If you want to live a life worthy of God's calling, then you need to consider and act upon what you're hearing tonight. Tonight's not one of these just sermons where, you know, I really like that word. I like the way you said it. You know, when he said that one thing, no, write that stuff off. Okay, listen to what I'm saying. This stuff's really, really serious for your life. It's a serious thing. A life without parameters accomplishes nothing. A life without boundaries runs endlessly into nowhere. And I can tell you, one of the things Satan wants more than anything is to lead Christians into a place where they're living a life that's unfocused and life is just happening to them and they're not accomplishing anything. They've set no boundaries and he can come and go as he pleases. And a lot of Christians live that way. I lived that way for a lot of years because I didn't know any better. But tonight you're hearing the word about, you know, how we draw these boundaries and how we set our convictions and what kind of life we want to have. And you're hearing the word that it's a choice tonight for you. So the question is, what do you want to do with your choice? Do you want to go on and just continue to live the life you've always lived and just let life happen? Or do you want to sit down one day and say, God, I want you to share with me the life that you have for me. I want you to help me find my convictions inside of me. I want you to help me find who I am in you. And I want to take a moment to put a few things on paper. I think David did a really, really good job at writing this. And there's not a whole lot of words involved in what he wrote. There's only 8 verses total. But I think when you read it, you begin to get a picture of what his life really looks like. It almost takes his life, which is a somewhat intangible thing, and he makes it completely tangible, and you can begin to see the boundaries of what it looks like, and you can begin to say, you know what, I know a little bit about David now. The question is, do you know about you? Do you know who you are? Do you know what your boundaries are? When you look at your life, you say, I can see totally what I'm all about. Or do you just look at yourself and you say, I don't know, based on where I've been and what I'm doing, I'm not sure where I'm going. But I can start today and I can begin to draw the parameters of my life and the boundaries of my life and decide who I'm going to be from this point forward. This is a very important part of our lives as Christians. So tonight what I want you to do is if we can just bow our heads and close our eyes, I want to pray over you tonight. I want God to start this process in your heart. And I want for you to begin to figure out who you are in Christ and what you want your life to look like. Father God, you know the hearts of your people. Lord, you know where we are. You know our heart's desire for our families and for our homes and for everything you've given us responsibility over, Lord. You know where we are with all these things. Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord, that you help us to live a life of boundaries, Lord. For us to decide exactly what we want our lives to look like, Lord, not based on our own desires, but upon the life you've called us to live according to the Word. Lord, that your convictions become our convictions, that the things that matter to you matter to us. Lord, that the things that we need to keep out of our lives, Lord, that we push them out, but that the relationships that we need, we pull them in. Lord, give us discernment to know the people that we need to connect with and the ones that we need to allow to go on out of our lives, Lord, because they're not good for us. Lord, I pray that you help us to open doors that need to be opened and to close doors that Satan is trying to open. Lord, I pray that you help us to protect our families and our homes. And Lord, help us to fix our eyes upon you in everything that we do. Lord, help us to live this blameless life that David set before himself. He says, I want to live this blameless life with my family. Lord, I want to have a right heart with you. Lord, there are things that we don't need in our lives and there are things that we need. Lord, help us to discern all that and sort that out in our lives. Lord, help us to put together the parameters, the boundaries of our life, Lord, so that we can be the witness that you've called us to be, that we can live this life that you've called us to live, so that when lost people come into our path, Lord, that we're ready to minister to them. And not out of need, like it somehow fulfills something within us, Lord, but we're able to minister to them based on the fullness that you've allowed through our obedience, Lord. Lord, I thank you and just praise you for what you're doing in us right now. Lord, I pray that you continue to build this message in our hearts, Lord, and take us to a place where we seriously sit down with you and say, Lord, help us to draft a picture of what our life looks like. Help us to take this thing that's been intangible to us, our life, Lord, and make something tangible out of it. Make it, get some boundaries around it and define it, Lord. Lord, I thank you and just praise you for what you're doing tonight. I thank you that you're working this message in our hearts and you're going to help us put this together, Lord. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we continue with our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? There may be someone here today who says, you know, I've not lived my life the way Christ has called me to live it, but I'm ready to give my life to him, and I want to see what he'll do with my life. I want you to know something about Christ today is that He loves you. He gave His life up for you. He was resurrected for you. He wants to have a relationship with you, and He loves you just exactly the way you are. If you're at a place in your life tonight where you say, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ into my life, and I need His help in my life, I want His guidance and I want His wisdom. If that's where you're at, if you would just lift your hand tonight, I want to lead you in a prayer tonight where you said, is there anyone here tonight? Praise you, Jesus. Anyone? If this is your heart's desire tonight, I want to lead you in this prayer. Father God, I come before You. I accept Your Son, Jesus, into my heart. Father, I'm sorry for the way that I've lived my life. But tonight I give my life to You, and I ask that You change me from the inside out. Father, I pray that You take this life that I have. Make something beautiful out of it. Father, I give You my life. I give You everything that I am. And Lord, I ask that You do a miraculous work in me. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Can we thank the Lord for what He's done tonight? Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. As we close the service, I want to have the prayer team come forward, if you would. There may be some of you who'd like prayer tonight for something, and I want you to know the prayer team will be here to pray with you. They'll be here for a little while. I'd like to close in prayer, and if we can kind of keep it quiet in here for a little bit so we can have our prayer time, I'd appreciate that. Father, I thank You for what You've done here this evening. Lord, I thank You for Your Word that continues to speak volumes to our heart, Lord, about where You want us to be and who You want us to be. Lord, I pray that You continue to make us the people that You've called us to be in every way, Lord. I pray that You help us to continue to connect with Your love and Your grace for us. Lord, I pray that that's the message we take to a hurting world around us, that You're a God who loves us. You're a God who pours out grace. And Lord, I pray that the message that we bring is just a message that reconciles people who don't know Jesus to Him. Father, I thank You for all that You're doing in this place. I thank You for Your love. I thank You for how You pour out through Your Holy Spirit everything that we need. Father, I pray that as we go out of this place today, Lord, that Your blessings fall over Your people and over their families. Lord, I just pray that You guide and direct every step we take as we follow You as we leave this place tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The altar is open.